April 30, 1932. How living in the divine will is a gift. Example of the poor one, an example of the king. How the gift is an excess of love and magnanimity of God, who neither cares, nor wants, to keep accounts of the great value that he gives. I felt myself all immersed in the divine volition. A crowd of thoughts preoccupied my mind, but always about the fiat itself, because in it one cannot think of anything else. Its sweet enchantment, its light that invests everything, its so many truths that line up all around like a formidable army, send far away all that does not pertain to it. The happy creature who finds herself in the divine will, finds herself in a celestial atmosphere, completely happy, in the fullness of the peace of the saints, and if she wants anything, it is only that everyone would know a volition so lovable, so holy. She would want that everyone would come to enjoy her happiness. But I thought to myself, but how can it be that the creatures can come to live in the divine will, in order to be able to form its holy kingdom? And my beloved Jesus, surprising me, told me, "My daughter, how little you are. One sees that your littleness does not know how to elevate itself into the power, immensity, goodness, and magnanimity of your Creator, and from your littleness you measure our greatness and our liberality. Poor tiny one, you get lost in our interminable powers, and you do not know how to give just way to our divine and infinite ways. It is true that humanly speaking, the creature is surrounded by evils as she is. To live in my volition, to form its kingdom in their midst, it is as if you would want to touch heaven with your finger, which is impossible. But what is impossible for men, is possible for a God. You must know that living in our will is a gift that our magnanimity wants to give to creatures. And with this gift the creature will feel himself transformed, from poor to rich, from weak to strong, from ignorant to learned, from slave of vile passions to sweet and voluntary prisoner of a will all holy that does not keep him prisoner, but king of himself, of the divine dominions, and of all created things. It will happen as to a poor one who dresses with wretched rags, lives in a hovel without doors, therefore exposed to thieves and enemies. He does not have sufficient bread so as to satisfy his hunger and is constrained to beg for it. If a king would give him a million as gift, the poor one would change his lot in life, and he would no longer be the figure of a poor beggar, but of a lord who possesses palaces, villas, dresses with decency, has abundant foods and is placed in the condition of being able to help others. What has changed the lot of this poor one? The million he received as gift. Now, if a vile coin has the virtue of changing the lot of a poor unhappy one, even more the great gift of our will. Given as gift it will change the unhappy lot of the human generations, except one who voluntarily wants to remain in his unhappiness. More so because this gift was given to man at the beginning of his creation, and ungrateful he rejected it by doing his will, withdrawing himself from ours. Now, one who disposes herself to doing our volition, prepares the place, the decency, the nobility for where to be able to put this gift so great and infinite. Our knowledges on the fiat will help and prepare her in a surprising way to receive this gift, and what has not been obtained up till today, they will be able to obtain tomorrow. Therefore, I am doing as a king would, who would want to elevate a family with bonds of kinship with his royal family. In order to do this, first he takes one member of them. He keeps her in his royal palace, he raises her, he eats together with her, accustoms her with his noble ways, entrusts his secrets to her, and, in order to make her worthy of himself, he lets her live of his will. And in order to be more secure and in order to not let her descend into the baseness of her family, he makes her the gift of his volition, so that she could hold it in her power. What the king cannot do, I can do, by locating my will in order to make a gift of it to the creature. So the king has his eyes fixed on her. He always goes embellishing her, dressing her with precious and beautiful clothes in a way that he feels himself enamored. And not being able to endure it any longer, binds her to himself with the lasting bond of marriage, in a way that one becomes gift of the other. With this, both parts have the right to reign. And that family acquires the bond of kinship with the king, and the king, for love of she who has given herself to him, and because he has given himself to her, calls that family to live in his royal palace, giving them the same gift that he gave to her whom he loves so much. So have we done. First we have called one from the human family to live in the royal palace of our volition. Little by little we made her the gift of its knowledges, of its most intimate secrets. In doing this we experienced indescribable contentments and joys, and we felt how sweet and dear it is to let the creature live in our volition. And our love pushed us, rather it used violence on us, to make her the gift of our omnipotent fiat. Even more, because she had made a gift of hers to us, she was already in our power, and our divine will could be secure and at its place of honor in the creature. Now, after we had made a gift of our fiat to a member of this human family, she acquires the bond and the right of this gift, because we never do works and gifts for one only, but when we do works and make gifts, we do always do them in a universal way. So this gift will be ready for everyone, provided they want it and dispose themselves. Therefore living in my will is not the property of the creature, nor is it in her power, but it is a gift. And I make it when I want, to whom I want, and in the times that I want. It is gift of heaven made by our great magnanimity, and by our inextinguishable love. Now with this gift the human family will feel itself so bound with its creator, that it will not feel far away from him anymore, but so near, as if it would be of his same family, and would live together in his same royal palace. With this gift it will feel so rich, that it will not feel the miseries, the weaknesses, the tumultuous passions anymore, but everything will be strength, peace, abundance of grace. And recognizing the gift, it will say, "Nothing is lacking to me in the house of my celestial Father, I have everything at my disposition, always in virtue of the gift that I have received." We always give the gifts as effect of our great love and our greatest magnanimity. If this were not so, or we wanted to care if the creature merited it or not, if he had made some sacrifices, then it would not have been a gift anymore, but payment, and our gift would be rendered as right and slave of the creature, while we, and our gifts, are not slaves of anyone. In fact, man did not yet exist, and before he was, we already created the sky, the sun, the wind, the sea, the flowered earth, and all the rest, in order to make a gift of it to man. What had he done in order to merit gifts so great and perennial? Nothing. And in the act of creating him, we gave him the great gift that was superior to all the others, our omnipotent fiat. And although he rejected it, still we did not forsake giving it any more, no, but we kept it reserved in order to give it to his children, the same gift that was rejected by their father. This gift was given in the excess of our love that is so much, that it doesn't know how to make, nor care about, the accounts, while the payment that it gives, if the creature does good works and sacrifices himself, it gives with just measure and according to what he merits. Not so with the gift. Therefore, for one who will be able to doubt, it means that he does not understand about our divine being, nor about our liberality, nor where our love can reach. Nevertheless, we want the correspondence of the creature, his gratitude and his little love. Fiat.